chunk of rock from the wall with it. The man climbing the rope below Alex shouted in fear. The gargoyle swooped close once more, and Alex felt the rope slide in his hands. Alex tightened his grip and watched every move the gargoyle made. Another gargoyle appeared out of the darkness, and then a third. Their shrieks sounded like rocks being split apart, and the beat of their wings was deafening. The gargoyles flew closer and closer to Alex and the men on the ropes. They repeatedly hit the cliff with their claws, knocking stones down onto Alex and the others. It was only a matter of time before a gargoyle would try to pluck one of them off the rope. Alex didn't have many options. He couldn't draw a sword because he had to keep both hands on the rope, and what good would a sword do? His staff was safely stored in his magic bag, and there was no time to retrieve it, and hanging on the rope, he couldn't use it anyway. "What do we do?" the man below Alex shouted. "Hold on!" Alex shouted. "All of you, hold on!" He climbed up a few feet and found a place to brace himself against the cliff. He looked at the black storm clouds filled with lightning and rain. He had to use magic, but he had to be careful as well. He forced himself to think like a dragon, knowing it would shield his magic from Jabez. He reached out to the storm with his magic, summoning the power that was already there. "Close your eyes!" he shouted. "Look away!" He didn't have time to see if the men obeyed him or not. A lightning bolt ripped through the darkness, slamming into the gargoyle closest to him. An explosion of stone hit the cliff where the monster had been, showering down on Alex and the others like broken glass. The two remaining gargoyles moved backwards, away from the cliff. They hovered in the air for a moment, unsure about what had just happened. A second bolt of lightning came racing out of the clouds, and again Alex used his magic to direct it. This time, the flash of light was as bright as the sun, and the explosion was deafening. A second gargoyle was gone, leaving nothing but falling stone where it had been. The third gargoyle now realized that it was in danger, that the storm might destroy it as it had its two companions. The last gargoyle moved away, flying higher against the wind, hoping to reach the safety of the castle. Alex couldn't let the monster escape. His plans would be ruined if it reported what it had seen and what had happened to the others. As the gargoyle moved away, it was harder for Alex to see, harder for him to hit with a lightning bolt, but he had to stop it. Focusing all his thought, Alex called down a third bolt of lightning, but this one was different. Half a dozen threads of lightning reached down from the clouds like blue-white fingers searching for something. As the gargoyle raced to the castle wall, the fingers found what they were searching for. The threads of light closed around the monster, the crackling of raw energy filled the air, and a sudden explosion shook the cliff where Alex was hanging. Alex looked down and counted his men. They were all there. No one had been taken by a gargoyle or lost to the storm. He let out a sigh of relief. The climb was a difficult one, but everyone made it. Once they were all inside the tunnel, Alex led the way to the stone door that would let them into the dungeons. Pushing the door open, Alex led the group quietly up the tunnel and to the dungeon. Alex peeked out of the tunnel to see if any guards were in the room. There were two guards, men, playing cards at a table by the far wall. Alex gathered a thread of his magic and quietly whispered, "Sleep," in their direction. After a moment, the first guard yawned and laid down his cards. The second guard rubbed his eyes. Alex added a little more magic to his spell and spoke again. "Sleep." This time, both guards slumped in their chairs, their heads falling backward. One guard started to snore softly. Alex moved out of the tunnel and into the dungeon, his men close behind. He moved quietly to the sleeping guards and unhooked the key ring from the first guard's belt. He didn't need the keys to open the cells, but once he had them, he went to Joshua's cell and unlocked it first. The gate swung open with a loud squeak, but the sleeping guards didn't move. Alex gave the key ring to Dagmar.
"Unlock the others."
The dwarf did as he was told, and Alex entered Joshua's cell.
"Joshua," he said softly.
Joshua was asleep on a low, dirty cot, his face turned to the wall. Alex touched his friend's shoulder to wake him up. Joshua flinched at the contact and rolled over to face Alex. His face was dirty and looked much thinner than it had before. His eyes were red and bloodshot, and he had grown a beard since the last time Alex had seen him.
"Alex,"
he whispered, his voice cracking from disuse.
"How did you get here?"
"It's a long story," Alex said, "and one best saved for another time. Hurry, my friends and I are here to rescue you."
Joshua tried to push himself up from the cot, but only made it part way. Alex had to catch him before he fell back on the bed.
"I don't know what's wrong with me," he said.
"Don't try to speak," Alex said. "Save your strength. You'll need it for the climb down to the beach."
"No,"
Joshua said, clutching at Alex's arm.
"No. This is important. Jabez..."
"He doesn't know we are here."
Alex helped Joshua stand up, but his friend swayed on his feet. His skin felt cold to the touch.
"Jabez did something to me,"
Joshua said, as if Alex hadn't spoken. Alex frowned.
"What did he do?"
"He kept asking me to tell him about someone named Waylon. I told him I didn't know anyone of that name, but he wouldn't believe me. He asked me again and again. He wanted to know what plans this Waylon person was making. He did things to me. He was inside my mind."
"It doesn't matter now. That ordeal is over,"
Alex said softly, using his magic to calm Joshua and to lend him some strength. Slowly, he helped Joshua toward the stone door. Dagmar had finished opening all the other cells, and he and the men were helping the other hostages. Many of the hostages had beards like Joshua, and their clothes were in tatters. It was clear that they had been in the dungeon for a long time, but they all seemed stronger than Joshua. Once they had gotten everyone to the opening in the cliff, Dagmar pulled Alex slightly away from the group.
"None of them are strong enough to climb down on their own," Dagmar whispered. "They'll fall off the ropes long before they reach the bottom."
"I have more rope. We'll rig a sling and lower them," said Alex.
It only took a few minutes for Dagmar to work a rope into a sling, and while he did that, two of the men climbed down the cliff to help the hostages once they were down. Alex, Dagmar, and the other rescuers lowered the hostages, sometimes two at a time, down to the beach. Joshua was the last one to be put in the sling, and before he was lowered, Alex sent two more of his men down the ropes.
"When you're all in the boats, tell Aaliyah to use the mage wind to speed you south," Alex said to Dagmar. "I'll make sure that Jabez doesn't notice."
You're not coming with us?"
Joshua asked.
Alex shook his head. "I can't. I need to stop Jabez, and I must do it alone."
"But he's a wizard,"
Joshua said.
"A powerful wizard."
Alex smiled.
"So am I."
Alex helped Joshua into the sling, and then helped him climb out of the tunnel. As he and the others slowly lowered Joshua to the beach, Alex turned slightly to look at Dagmar. "Joshua may need more help than the others," Alex said. "Warn Lady Aaliyah not to try and break any spells she might see. They will break once I destroy Jabez."
"As you wish," Dagmar answered. "Are you sure you don't need my help?"
"No, my friend. As I said, I must do this alone."
Dagmar nodded his understanding, and then he and the remaining men started down the ropes. Alex turned and returned to the dungeons, closing and locking the stone door behind him. He was alone except for the two sleeping guards. He didn't want to leave by the main door of the dungeon. It would be too risky. He thought there would be more guards there, and he couldn't keep putting guards to sleep. He looked around the room, remembering stories he'd read and other castles he'd been in. This was a solid dungeon, and the stones fit together without leaving any gaps. As he studied the dungeon, Alex saw one stone in the ceiling that seemed to be a different color than the rest. It was in the corner near to where the guards were sleeping. Alex walked over to the guards and climbed onto their table. Reaching up, he touched the stone. The stone moved as he applied pressure to it, and he was able to push it to one side. This was exactly what he'd been thinking of, a secret passage. He didn't know where the secret passageway would lead him, but at least it would be away from the dungeon. If he was really lucky, it would take him somewhere useful. Alex gripped the edges of the open hole and pulled himself into the ceiling. The guards were still asleep as he replaced the stone and started off into the unknown. Chapter 20. The Secret Passageway. Alex soon found himself in a long hallway that was only broken by short sets of stairs that always went up. It was clear that this passage would lead him into the castle. At the top of a long spiral staircase, the passage suddenly split into several other passageways, and Alex was certain that each one led to a hidden door somewhere inside the castle. He quickly checked the first few passageways, but one led to the kitchen, and another led to a room where guards were sleeping. He went back to the main passageway, sure that if he followed it, there would be other paths to follow. Careful not to make any noise, Alex made his way through the secret passages. The feel of dust under his feet reassured him that Jabez had not discovered these passageways, and that for the time being, he was safe. As he moved deeper into the castle, he paused to listen and look through spy holes that he found hidden in the castle walls. He saw a few gargoyles inside the castle, as well as men and goblins. He listened to everything he heard, but as he suspected, nothing he heard had anything to do with the Axe of Sundering. Eventually, one of the spy holes Alex checked revealed what had to be the throne room. Alex paused for a moment, and then quickly moved along the passage to find a new spy hole, one that would give him a better view of the throne room. This was his chance to see Jabez and possibly find out what he was up to. Jabez's plans were in full motion now, and it made sense that Jabez would command his armies from the ancient throne room of Conmar. Alex found a spy hole that let him see most of the room, and as quietly as he could, he leaned closer to learn as much as he could. The room he looked into was dimly lit, but there was enough light for Alex to see most of what was going on. More important, he could hear what was being said, and what he heard gave him hope. Jabez might let something slip that would help him with his quest.
"An army of elves has attacked our southern army," a cold voice was saying. "They appeared without warning and have destroyed most of our supplies."
"More supplies are already moving across the mountains,"
a voice that had to be Jabez's replied.
You'll have all you'll need to continue the battle.
The elves do not stand and fight like the men, the cold voice whined. They hit us and run away, and we don't have enough warriors to chase them.
Enough of your excuses,
Jabez shouted.
I've sent more supplies and more warriors with them. You will push on to the coast and destroy the cities of men. When that task is done, you can push south and destroy the troublesome elves.
It would be better to destroy the elves first, a sly goblin voice commented. They are cunning, and leaving them free to attack us is dangerous.
Silence!
Jabez snapped.
I have considered the elves and what they might do. They are an inconvenience, nothing more. Once the cities of men are destroyed, we will hunt the few elves that remain in Westland.
It was clear from Jabez's tone that the discussion was over, and that he wouldn't listen to any suggestions about changing the plans he'd made. Alex thought that Jabez was being foolish, because he knew the elves would do more than just cause trouble.
Now, what word from the north?
Jabez asked.
Our armies continue to advance,
a large goblin answered.
The men of the north fight hard, but our numbers are too great for them.
Your numbers are being cut down too quickly,
said Jabez, his anger growing as he spoke.
My gargoyle servants have reported your losses to me. You lose 10 warriors for every human you cut down. The losses mean nothing,
the goblin answered with a growl.
We have more than enough warriors to complete our mission. What about after that mission is over?
Jabez asked, rising from the throne where he'd been sitting.
What about after Westland is ours, and it is time for us to move on to Midland? There are always more warriors to be found,
the goblin answered, fear creeping into his voice.
No, there are not!
Jabez shouted. He slammed his staff against the floor, and a blast of red light shot out of the top. Jabez's spell hit the goblin like a giant fist. The goblin was thrown backwards, landing hard and sliding across the stone floor. It cried out in pain, but none of the other goblins in the room moved to help it. Jabez stood watching the goblin, and Alex could see him clearly in the torchlight. A look of evil joy covered Jabez's face, and he cast a second spell that crushed the goblin into the floor.
Tell his second in command that he is the leader now,
said Jabez as he returned to his throne.
And tell him that he'd better not waste my army, or he will face a worse punishment than his former leader.
There was a mumble of acceptance from those gathered around the throne. It was clear that all of these creatures both feared and hated Jabez. It was also clear that they would not fight against him. They wanted the power that Jabez offered them, and they were happy to do whatever Jabez ordered, for at least as long as they were winning. Alex watched for several more minutes, but nothing was said that might help him find the Axe of Sundering. He didn't expect Jabez to openly mention the axe, but maybe he would mention a treasure room or the underground lake. Alex replaced the spy hole cover and moved away from the throne room. He had one idea about where the axe might be, but it would be difficult and dangerous to check. He was sure Jabez would have plenty of guards stationed outside the treasure room of Conmar, if he could find it. Alex waited by the hidden doorway, listening as the guards moved up and down the hallway beyond the door. It was important to know how often the guards passed by, so he could sneak into the castle proper without anyone noticing. He wasn't exactly sure where the treasure room was, but he could sense the presence of a dragon. If his guess was right, this would be the golden dragon he'd seen in Darthon's dream. It made sense that the dragon would be in or at least near the treasure room, as that would probably be the only place large enough to keep a dragon. Of course, there would be other guards between here and the treasure room, but Alex thought he could slip past them without being noticed. After a few hours of waiting and listening, Alex slowly pulled open the hidden doorway that he'd been waiting behind. It had been several minutes since the last set of guards had passed, and he knew it would be some time before more guards came his way. The castle was dark, the only light coming from torches placed every 20 or 30 feet along the passageway. Alex wiped away the dust that his shoes left on the stone floor. He didn't want to leave any clues that he had been in the castle or how he'd gotten there. Certain that the secret passage was safe, Alex started off as fast as he dared. He made his way down 3 levels without meeting anyone or anything, and he was starting to wonder where all the guards were. He was on his way to a 4th stairway when he heard heavy footsteps coming toward him. Alex looked for a place to hide, but there wasn't one in the long hallway. With no other option, Alex pushed open the closest door and jumped into the room beyond it. He looked wildly around to make sure the room was empty, and then stood next to the mostly closed door, watching the hallway outside. The footsteps came closer and closer until Alex could see a massive gargoyle stop just outside the door he was hiding behind. The gargoyle looked from one side of the hallway to the other, sniffing the air as if it smelled something it wasn't sure about. Alex held his breath, afraid that the gargoyle would start checking the doors along the hallway. For a minute, the gargoyle stood perfectly still, taking a long, deep breath. Alex tensed his muscles, ready for the worst, but the gargoyle simply snorted and started moving down the hallway as if nothing was wrong. Alex waited a few minutes to make sure the stone monster had gone, and then slipped back into the hallway. He hurried on, desperate to reach the lower parts of the castle where he would be less likely to run into anything dangerous. As he quietly rushed along one of the lower halls, he knew he had made a mistake.
"Well, well, well. What have we here?"
"Jabez." Alex spun toward the voice and cursed himself for being so stupid. He should have checked more closely, making sure the hall was empty before entering it. He allowed his desire for speed to blind him, and now he would have to face Jabez without the Axe of Sundering and without any real hope of destroying him.
"Ah, the young warrior my uncle brought with him," Jabez commented with a wicked smile. "I congratulate you on getting this far. My uncle must have put quite a spell on you so that you could slip past my guards."
"Your uncle is a great wizard," said Alex, drawing his scimitar as he spoke. He wished he had Moonslayer in his hand, but he would have to make do without it.
"Ha!" Jabez laughed, spitting on the floor. "My uncle is an old fool, and it seems his powers are not as great as they once were. There was a time he would have come here himself to face me, and not sent some hireling to do his dirty work for him."
"A hireling that slipped past your guards, and even now holds your fate in his hands," Alex replied.
"Surely you don't believe that," said Jabez, laughing again. "My fool of an uncle must have told you that your weapons would be useless against me. Did he really let you believe a mere sword could hurt me? What did he promise you? What have you sold your life for?"
Alex didn't say anything as he felt Jabez's spell wash over him. Jabez was using magic to probe his mind, looking for reasons and clues about Waylon's plans. Alex could have blocked his mind from the spell if he'd wanted to, but that would mean giving himself away and letting Jabez know that he was also a wizard. Instead, he hid parts of his mind from Jabez, only letting him see what he wanted him to see. At the same time, Alex tried to find his own way into Jabez's mind, hoping to find the hiding place of the Axe of Sundering.
"You are brave to come here alone," Jabez said calmly. "I'm sure my uncle planned things well, allowing himself a way out once you reached Westland. Still, I value bravery, even when it is misplaced."
"What do you mean?" Alex asked, holding back the rage that was building inside of him.
"My uncle has sent you here to die. That much must be clear, even to you," Jabez answered with a sneer. "I can always use good men. Give up this foolish quest of yours and join me. I could use a man like you, and I am always generous to those who serve me well."
Alex knew that his words were a lie. As soon as he discovered what he wanted to know, Jabez would kill him, just as he had killed the goblin leader in the throne room. Alex held back, showing Jabez more of what he wanted to see, while continuing to pry into Jabez's deepest thoughts. He was close to the answer he needed, but he didn't understand what he saw in Jabez's mind.
"Join me,"
Jabez said again, moving closer to Alex as he spoke.
"Give up your foolish quest and serve me. It is the only way you can save your friends. It is the only way you can save the elf maid Aaliyah."
Alex was shocked that Jabez knew about Aaliyah. He was shaken by how deeply Jabez had been able to look into his mind without his knowing. Anger rose up like a serpent inside Alex, and he acted without thinking. In one sweeping move, he stepped forward, drawing his scimitar and striking out at his enemy. Alex felt the edge cut into Jabez's side, his dragon magic adding power to the blow. Jabez looked stunned, shocked, and for a moment, afraid. Then Alex felt Jabez's magic push him back, fire and ice filling his right arm. He fell, his scimitar dropping to the stone floor and ringing loudly as it hit. Jabez staggered away from Alex, clutching at his side. Alex struggled back to his feet, his right arm numb with cold and pain. His head was spinning as if he'd been hit on the chin. The two of them looked at each other for a long moment in silence, and then they both moved. Alex ran forward, scooping up his scimitar with his left hand. Jabez staggered back into the chamber, calling loudly for his guards to come. Alex could tell that Jabez was enhancing his voice with magic. Soon, every guard in Conmar would be rushing to this hall, and Alex had only one chance. He had to reach the treasure rooms of Conmar. From there, he might be able to find some way to escape. Alex ran as fast as he could, his right arm swinging uselessly as he went. He ran down another set of stairs and down the long tunnels, heading for what he hoped would be the treasure room. He struggled to get his scimitar back in its scabbard and focused on a source of magic he could feel and almost smell. He came upon another long set of stairs and paused. There was a dragon waiting for him at the bottom of the stairs. He had been right to follow his instincts. As Alex ran into the treasure chamber, the dragon moved back, a puzzled look on its face. Alex skidded to a stop. He recognized the golden dragon that had attacked Darthon's mind and was relieved that it wasn't an unknown dragon. The dragon was still enslaved by Jabez's magic, unable to speak or even make a sound. Alex had promised to break the curse and return the dragon's voice, but he could already hear Jabez's guards racing down the tunnel behind him. There was no time, and he still couldn't let Jabez know that he was a wizard. "I can't free you yet," Alex said, his eyes moving around the treasure room as he spoke. "Once I destroy the wizard who has done this to you, then his spell will be broken and you will be free." The dragon looked sad, but nodded its understanding of Alex's words.
Will you help me?
Alex asked, his eyes meeting the golden dragon's gaze. The dragon nodded, and for a moment Alex could see into the dragon's mind. He saw a pathway leading away from the treasure room and down to an underground lake. A shimmer of magical light glowed in the center of the lake. Alex understood perfectly where he needed to go and why. He also knew that the dragon would do whatever he asked it to. Alex started to move toward his hope for escape, but before he could look away from the dragon, a vision flashed into his mind. Buried on the other side of a stack of treasure was an old iron box. Alex immediately recognized it from the vision he had had in the Cave of Dreams when he and Waylon had been traveling with the caravan. Alex blinked his eyes, breaking his connection with the dragon, and hurried to the spot the dragon had shown him. He found the iron box and lifted the lid. Inside was one of the Orion stones he had seen in his vision. It glowed like a pearl in sunlight, and Alex could sense the magic surrounding it. He quickly lifted the stone out of the box, but hesitated before putting it into his magic bag. He didn't know how the magic of the stone would react to the magic of his bag, but he couldn't leave it behind. The Orion stone was too powerful, and he didn't want Jabez to be able to use it as a weapon against him. Alex slipped the stone into his shirt pocket instead. "Thank you, my friend. If you can, give me time to reach the end of this tunnel," said Alex as he moved to the smaller opening on the far side of the treasure room. "When Jabez's guards enter this room, breathe fire down the tunnel after me. I will leave an image of myself to burn in the flames. Then I will be free to destroy your enemy and mine." Once more, the dragon nodded, and Alex ran for the tunnel. He didn't have a lot of time, but he thought he would be able to work the magic he needed without Jabez noticing. The fact that the dragon was so close would help, because Jabez would not be able to detect Alex's magic with so much dragon magic in the room. Halfway between the treasure chamber and the far end of the tunnel, Alex stopped. He focused his thoughts on a large boulder that was lying next to the wall and worked his magic. The boulder changed into a body that was almost an exact duplicate of himself. It was dressed the same as Alex was, and even had a magic bag and a scimitar, both of which looked like his own. Weakened by his injured arm, Alex stumbled to the end of the tunnel where the path ended in a large half-circle. The beginnings of a stairway remained attached to the right side of the platform, but there were only 5 worn and broken steps, and then nothing. He was stuck. There was no way down to the underground lake, and no way for him to go back. As the light of dragonfire filled the tunnel behind him, Alex did the only thing he could do. He jumped. He felt the heat as a giant ball of flame passed over him, and then the cold rush of air as he fell. The icy black water tried to rip Alex's breath away from him when he hit the surface of the lake. He managed to hold his breath as he sank into darkness. His right arm throbbed painfully as he tried to swim, and his lungs burned from a lack of air. Swimming as hard as he could with only one arm, Alex forced himself down toward the bottom of the lake. The air had almost entirely left his lungs before he reached his goal. He struggled to move a large rock and then forced his magic bag under it. Struggling with the straps, he managed to pull the bag close to his face and, with his last breath, he whispered the password. Without a sound, Alex vanished into his bag, wounded and cold, but alive and undefeated. It took several hours before Alex felt ready to leave the safety of his magic bag. His right arm was still numb, and he had trouble holding anything, but the pain was mostly gone. Alex took a deep breath and then reluctantly spoke the magic password that would release him from his magic bag and return him to the icy water of the lake. The water of the underground lake was so cold it burned, and with some difficulty he retrieved his magic bag from beneath the rock. Wrapping the straps of the bag around his numb right hand, Alex pushed off the bottom of the lake, swimming as hard as he could for the surface. Alex gasped for breath as he broke the surface of the water. He let himself float for a moment to let his eyes adjust to the darkness and get a sense of direction. He conjured a single faint weir light just to make sure he was alone. Alex swam to the edge of the lake and pulled himself out of the water. He rested on the rocky beach for a few minutes, catching his breath and trying to warm up. Far above him was the platform he had jumped from. Magic was the only way he could get back onto the platform, and he was sure Jabez wouldn't notice. He probably wasn't even looking for magic now. He concentrated and rose from the surface of the lake to the platform. Alex could see the glow of the dragon in the treasure room, and the stones of the tunnel he'd run down were still warm from the dragon's fire. He started back down the tunnel, noticing that the body he had left behind was gone. Jabez's guards must have carried it away, probably to prove that the warrior had not escaped them. As Alex entered the treasure room, the light coming from the dragon increased. He smiled and moved further into the room. The dragon watched Alex as he moved, waiting patiently to hear what Alex had to say. For several seconds, Alex didn't say anything, and when he did speak to the dragon, he did not use his voice. "I am grateful for your help," Alex said, his thoughts entering the dragon's mind. "I am in your debt, and I will do everything I can to break the curse Jabez has put on you." The dragon nodded its understanding, but was unable to reply. Alex sat down on a pile of gold coins and let his mind move closer to the dragon's. He wanted to know how the dragon had gotten here and how Jabez had managed to steal its voice. As he opened his mind, the dragon was able to show him the answers to his questions, and the more Alex saw, the more he understood. For a long time, Alex sat in the treasure room, sharing thoughts with the dragon, until he came to the question he needed to answer most. "Where is the Axe of Sundering?" Alex thought, his own mind recalling what he'd seen in Jabez's thoughts. "I need it if I'm going to end this evil." The dragon did not show Alex an answer in his thoughts, but instead, it turned its head and looked at the tunnel leading to the underground lake. Alex looked at the opening as well, and then at the dragon. He didn't understand what the dragon was trying to tell him, and then suddenly he realized what the dragon was saying without words. The axe was not hidden in the treasure room, and it was not guarded as Alex thought it would be. Jabez had put the axe in the one place he thought it would be safe, the one place that no warrior would ever be able to reach it. With a laugh, Alex stood up and bowed to the dragon. When Alex moved toward the tunnel, however, the dragon shifted as if to stop him from leaving. The dragon looked around the treasure room and then at Alex. "You want me to take all of this?" Alex asked. The dragon nodded its head. "If Jabez returns before I have the axe, or if I fail to destroy him, he will be angry with you for giving his treasure away," Alex said. A light flashed in the dragon's eyes as Alex spoke, and its meaning was all too clear. If Jabez should discover the loss of his treasure, he might try to destroy the dragon, which would be one way for the dragon to escape its prison. "Very well," Alex said. "I will take this and hope that Jabez never returns to this room." It only took a few seconds for Alex to move all of Jabez's treasure into his own magic bag. With that task completed, Alex looked at the dragon once more. The look on the dragon's face told Alex all he needed to know, and once again, he bowed to the dragon.
"You will be free, I promise," Alex said as he turned to go.
Without looking back, Alex moved down the tunnel toward the underground lake. This time, there was no hurry. He wasn't being chased. Now there was only one thing he needed to think about, and that was getting the Axe of Sundering out of the icy lake. Alex had seen the lake in Jabez's mind, but he hadn't recognized it for what it was, not until the dragon had given him the answer he needed. The spark of magic he'd seen in the lake wasn't Jabez's doing, and it wasn't the dragon's either. The magic came from the Axe of Sundering, and no dark magic could ever hide it. Standing at the edge of the platform, Alex looked out into the darkness. He had seen the magic Jabez had used to hide the axe when he'd looked into Jabez's mind. Now he used that same magic to call the axe back. There was no need to worry about Jabez noticing this magic, because it wasn't his magic. He was using the magic of the Axe of Sundering itself. After several minutes of staring into the darkness, Alex saw what he was looking for. A faint glimmer, like a distant star, appeared above the waters of the lake. Slowly, the glimmer grew brighter as the axe moved toward Alex and finally hung motionless in the air in front of him.
Chapter 21. The Axe of Sundering. The Axe of Sundering floated just out of reach, waiting for Alex to take it. For a moment, he hesitated, dazzled by the beauty of the deadly weapon in front of him. Without thinking, Alex lifted his right arm, reaching out for the axe with his numb hand. The axe moved away, as if it did not wish to be touched. Alex felt a wave of magic wash over him, magic that came from the axe. It was searching his mind, testing his power, and deciding if he would be the one to wield it. Alex couldn't take his eyes off the axe as he stood waiting. Slowly, words formed in his mind, words he had heard before.
"Will you pay the price? Will you give up all that you are to wield this weapon?"
Alex's mind spun wildly. Did he really have to give up everything he was? Could he only wield the axe if he gave up being an adventurer, a wizard, a dragon lord? Did the magic of the axe want him to give up being a dragon? Alex didn't know if he could give it all up. He wasn't sure it would be possible to meet the price the axe was asking. His mind raced through all his adventures, everything he had done, and all that he still hoped to do. The Axe of Sundering didn't move as Alex thought. Suddenly, his thoughts shifted to the evil that was being done by Jabez and the Brotherhood. If he failed to win the axe, all of Westland, all of Jaro, would fall into evil. If he didn't win the axe, the Brotherhood would soon take over all the known lands. Alex moved his hand toward the axe, his mind made up.
"Yes," he thought, "I will give up everything to stop this evil."
The Axe of Sundering moved down and forward, and when it touched his hand, the numbness vanished. Magical warmth flowed through him. The axe had chosen, but Alex wasn't sure what would happen next. He pulled his arm back, looking at the magical markings on the axe. Now that it was in his hand, Alex realized what was so special about this weapon.
"Made by magic,"
Alex whispered. Unlike Moonslayer, which had been made by hand and then had magic added to it, the Axe of Sundering had been made completely by magic. No hammer had ever worked the metal of this weapon, and no stone or file could ever make an edge as impossibly sharp. The Axe of Sundering was much more than just a weapon.
"You have paid the price, and yet remain yourself,"
a voice that Alex had never heard said inside his head.
"To freely offer all is payment enough."
A sense of joy filled Alex as he shifted the axe from hand to hand. The balance was perfect, and as he swung the weapon, the axe felt more like a part of him, not just a weapon in his hands. The axe was small and light enough for him to use with one hand, yet large enough for him to use both hands if he needed to. There was powerful magic in the axe, magic that was both the same and different than the magic of Moonslayer. Alex knew that the axe would help him in battle just as Moonslayer did, but it would also help him in other ways. It would take time for him to understand this new power, but at the moment, time was something Alex did not have. He had to find Jabez and end his evil. Alex hoped more than anything that he was not already too late to help his friends. Alex slid the axe into his belt and returned to the treasure room. He bowed to the golden dragon as he passed, but he didn't have time to stop. Surprising Jabez could mean the difference between success and failure. He made his way back up the many flights of stairs and through the hallways until he was close to the throne room. He knew he would need all his strength in the fight that was coming. Even with the Axe of Sundering, it would not be an easy battle. He reached for the throne room door, but then he paused. His sudden appearance would certainly surprise Jabez, but if there were guards or even servants in the room, Jabez might escape. The Dark Wizard would certainly recognize the Axe of Sundering in Alex's hand, and the fact that Alex had it might scare him into running. He forced his mind to focus, tried to think like a dragon, and became invisible. As quietly as he could, Alex opened the door and stepped into the throne room. He closed the door behind him, looking to see what dangers might be waiting for him. The room was empty, and that didn't seem right. He had expected Jabez to be here, giving orders or listening to reports of the war he had started. The fact that the room was empty brought new worries to Alex's mind. A sudden rustle of movement made Alex jump, his right hand grasping the axe in his belt. The massive doors to the room opened wide as Alex moved out of the way, and a pair of gargoyles entered, carrying a wooden chest between them. A dozen goblin soldiers marched close behind the gargoyles, and walking in the middle of the goblins was Waylon Vankin. Alex was stunned. Somehow, Jabez had managed to locate Waylon, capture him, and then bring him to Conmar. Waylon looked like he had been badly beaten. His clothes were dirty and torn, and he walked with a limp. A dirty bandage, stained with blood, was wrapped around his head. One of the goblins pushed Waylon forward, and he stumbled as he entered the throne room. Alex wanted to rush forward and free his friend. He wanted to cut down the goblins that were gathered around Waylon, laughing their evil laughter. He wanted to use the Axe of Sundering to hack the gargoyles into pieces, but he knew he couldn't. He had to wait. He moved into the shadows at one side of the room, rage flowing through him. Jabez would be coming soon, and it was Jabez that he had to destroy. The wait was a short one. Jabez came limping into the room, a pained look on his face as he climbed the steps to the stone throne. It took a few seconds for Jabez to turn and sit down. It was clear that he was suffering from the wound Alex had given him. Alex moved closer, his hand ready to pull the axe of sundering out of his belt, but he did not act.
"You don't seem pleased to see me, Uncle," Jabez said, a nasty grin spreading over his face.
"Why would I be pleased to see you?"
Waylon asked.
"You've broken your oath as a true wizard. You've brought war and suffering to Jaro, and you've dishonored my name."
"The dishonor you brought upon yourself,"
Jabez said with a sneer.
"You always thought that I would be like you. You tried to make me into a copy of yourself, but I was too clever for that. You and your do-good attitude, always using your powers to help others because you claimed it was the right thing to do. Look where all of your good deeds have gotten you."
"I see you've learned nothing,"
Waylon said.
"I tried to teach you the correct path, and you refused to learn."
"Ha!"
Jabez laughed, his face turning red with anger.
"You tried to teach me the fool's path. What I've learned is that the gratitude of the poor and helpless is meaningless. All that really matters in this world is wealth and power."
"You're a fool,"
Waylon replied.
"A fool?"
Jabez yelled back and started to laugh. He laughed so hard that he suddenly grimaced in pain from the wound in his side.
"Let me show you who the real fool is."
Jabez snapped his fingers, and the gargoyles came forward carrying their wooden chest. They placed the chest at the bottom of the stair that led to the throne, and then stepped away. Jabez's face was full of hunger as he looked down at the chest.
"Leave us,"
Jabez said, waving away the goblins and gargoyles.
"There is little need to fear the great Waylon Vankin now."
The goblins all laughed as they turned and left the room, followed closely by the gargoyles. Jabez didn't say anything more until the throne room doors were closed, but his eyes remained fixed on Waylon. Alex used the time to move closer to Waylon, thinking that he might have to defend his friend from a sudden attack.
"I'm sure you think your plans will find success," Jabez began, his voice calmer than it had been. "You've always been so cunning, Uncle. But this time, your plans have all come to nothing."
"You're beginning to bore me,"
Waylon said, sounding much braver than he looked.
"Oh, you find me boring, do you?" Jabez laughed. "Then let me tell you about your foolishness. Let me show you how your plans have failed. Let me explain how I will be the greatest wizard in this land and all the other known lands as well. Your council of wizards will bow before me."
"They will never bow to you,"
Waylon said, the anger clear in his voice.
"Just as you would never bow,"
Jabez snapped back. Jabez slowly walked down the stairs, holding his staff for support. Once he was steady, he swung his staff out, striking the wooden chest. The wood crumbled away like dust, replaced by a stone pillar. On top of the pillar was a single stone that shimmered with a silver light, an Orion stone. Alex touched his pocket, reassuring himself that the other Orion stone was still safe in his possession.
"Yes, Uncle. Here is the secret that you did not expect," said Jabez, his eyes moving from the stone to Waylon once more. "The Orion stones that you thought had been destroyed. You and your foolish council thought the secret of their making was lost forever. Yet two of these wonderful stones were given to me, and now they will be part of your greatest and final defeat."
The stones may not work the way you wish them to,
Wayland said.
Use them if you will. They will do you little good.
I thought that's what you would say,
Jabez laughed. He picked up the shimmering stone and walked closer to Wayland. He held the glowing stone tightly in his hand and then pressed it against Wayland's chest, right over his heart. Wayland screamed, his eyes clenched tight. Alec stepped forward, his hand on the axe at his belt, but again he had to force himself to stop and wait. Jabez had a cruel smile on his face as he pushed the stone harder against Wayland's chest. A bright white light surrounded the two wizards and the Orion stone. Slowly, the light began to be absorbed by the stone until it was gone. Wayland slumped to the ground with a groan. Jabez lifted the stone high in the air. It now glowed with an inner golden light.
Now you are powerless. This stone holds your magic, magic that will soon be mine.
My magic will never be yours, said Wayland,
weak but still defiant.
Oh, but it will,
Jabez replied, a hungry look on his face.
I know how the stones work as well as you do, Uncle. I know that once you are dead, I will be able to absorb all the magical power this stone holds.
Then kill me and be done with it,
Wayland snapped.
Kill you? Oh, it won't be as quick and easy as that,
Jabez said.
First, I must show you how foolish you've been. Before you die, you will hear how your warrior was destroyed, how your well-laid plans have come to nothing.
I don't believe you,
Wayland said, his voice sounding desperate.
Oh, but you will believe,
Jabez answered. Alex moved slowly and quietly to stand just behind Wayland.
I knew you'd deny everything,
Jabez said, moving closer.
You never admit your mistakes, do you? Bringing the sea elves into the battle, a minor inconvenience. Sending your young warrior to try and kill me, foolishness.
I don't know what you're talking about,
Wayland answered.
Lies!
Jabez yelled, swinging his staff and hitting Wayland in the stomach.
Lies and deceit from the most honest of all wizards!
Alex had to stop himself from reaching out to catch Wayland, had to stop himself from taking the invisible axe at his side and attacking Jabez on the spot. He didn't know why he had to wait, but he knew there was a reason to wait. Some reason that was more important than his own desire to destroy the evil wizard in front of him.
I suppose you didn't send the warrior,
Jabez said, pacing back and forth in front of Wayland.
Yes, your young adventurer friend was here. He foolishly used a regular blade against me and not the axe of sundering.
Jabez turned and climbed back to the stone throne, bending over to pick up something from behind the giant chair.
Here is the proof of your failure,
said Jabez, turning to face Wayland once more.
Your warrior has caused me a great deal of pain, as you can tell, but it cost him his life.
Jabez threw a blackened sword and a badly burnt magic bag down on the floor in front of Wayland. They were the items Alex had created to go with the false image of himself, and he was more than a little pleased that Jabez believed they were real.
Your mighty warrior ran into a little pet of mine,
Jabez said, sounding almost gleeful.
So you see, Uncle, all of your plans have come and will come to nothing.
When Alex saw the pained and troubled look on Wayland's face, he realized that part of Waylon believed what Jabez was saying. Unable to stop himself, he reached out and touched Waylon's shoulder, leaning close and in a whisper that only Waylon could possibly hear, he spoke.
I am here.
Waylon looked surprised for a moment, but Jabez took the look as one of defeat. He laughed at Waylon, who was still kneeling in front of him. Alex thought fast, trying to find a way to free Waylon and at the same time destroy Jabez. His thoughts returned to what Waylon had told him about the Orion Stones and about how they were used to steal another wizard's magic. What was it that Waylon had told him?
You'd better be sure I'm dead before you crush the stone holding my power. If I'm even barely alive, my powers will return to me, and I will destroy you,
Waylon said, rising to his feet. Waylon's words told Alex what he needed to know, the reason why he was waiting to attack.
Oh, you'll be dead, Jabez said with a wicked grin. You'll beg for death first, but you will be very dead before I crush the stone.
Alex knew what he had to do. He moved without making a sound, stepping around Waylon and walking to the pillar where the glowing Orion Stone sat. With great care, Alex drew the axe of sundering from his belt. Carefully, he positioned the hammer-like back of the axe over the stone.
You seem so sure of yourself, said Waylon. Even now, you do not realize the danger you are in.
Danger? Jabez asked. What danger? I've captured you and destroyed the warrior you sent to try and kill me. My armies are sweeping across Westland, and it is only a matter of time before I have destroyed the humans and elves that stand against me.
Waylon started to laugh as he forced himself to stand straight. He continued to laugh as he looked Jabez in the eye. Jabez sunk back into his throne in fear. Even when Waylon was powerless and wounded, Jabez was afraid of him.
Your evil has reached its end,
Waylon shouted. Alex raised the axe of sundering over his head, and with all his strength, he brought the blunt end of the axe down on the Orion Stone. There was a blinding flash of red-gold light, followed by a thunderous explosion. Alex staggered back a step. The light flowed like water, seeping over and past Alex. Quickly, the glowing water-like magic gathered around Waylon's body. The wizard immediately stood up straighter, strength and light coming back to his face. Jabez looked from Waylon to Alex, who brought up the axe, ready to attack now that his invisibility spell had been broken.
You,
Jabez said in a shocked whisper.
It can't be. You were destroyed by the dragon. This cannot be.
The dragon fire did not touch me, Alex said, moving toward Jabez. The dragon you keep as a slave did as I asked. Now it is time to repay the dragon's kindness. Jabez jumped to his feet, but stood frozen in fear for a moment, and then moved faster than Alex expected. A bolt of lightning shot from Jabez's staff, aimed for Alex's heart. Alex blocked.